Brilliant. Thanks, Brent. That was fantastic. He does such a good job at that. That's why I asked him to step up for me, which is really good. So, yeah, it's the theme of the camp is Beholder, Come Quickly. And I was just thinking when Brent was talking about having things stolen, I've actually had my house broken into a couple of times, but the last time it was broken into, I knew it was going to happen. I was hounded for 6 weeks by some people wanting to get into my house. And it's an odd feeling when you're kind of waiting for your house to be broken into. I mean, I've got some pretty valuable possessions, so it took ages to get all these valuable possessions out of my house and into work. No, I'm kidding. It was only a couple of things. And because I knew it was going to happen. And so when they came to break in, I didn't want these things that weren't mine stolen. And what's funny is when they finally broke in, it was a bit of a relief. And so, you know, we're waiting for the Lord to come back. He's coming back like the thief, you know, and we're waiting. We know he's going to come back. And it's just going to be such a relief when he finally comes back as like a thief in the night. So we all look forward to that. Open up the scriptures to Mark chapter 13. Just go through a few scriptures about Jesus' return, which is what it's all about during camp. Mark chapter 13. Down in Mark chapter 13. I was in Matthew. Mark 13 and verse 33. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I think I accidentally read verse 32. Just watch. I mean, that came up this morning as well. The Lord wants us to watch, always. Watch out. You know, be on watch, expecting the Lord to return. And what's important there, it says nobody knows. No man, not even the angels which are in heaven, not even the Son. I mean, I've shared to a couple of people, I actually know when the Lord's coming back, so you can speak to me later. But it says here that only the Father knows when Jesus will return. It's just interesting how a lot of people like to predict when Jesus is going to come back. You know, in our lifetime, we've seen many people that crop up saying, yep, this is when Jesus come back. This is when Jesus come back throughout history. You know, like people like to dabble in that to try and predict when Jesus will return. But it says clearly here, nobody knows, not the angels in heaven or even the Son, only the Father. And so while we're here, well, there's no way we can even know, the Lord wants us to watch, and he's given us, like we are servants, we have authority from God to carry on his work here on earth, and he wants us to watch and carry on doing the work we have to do here on earth, lest suddenly he find us sleeping. You know, let us not fall asleep on the job, as we heard this morning. We don't want the person in the watchtower to fall asleep. But we all need to be awake and ready always for when the Lord returns. Over to Matthew chapter 24. A few scriptures here. I prefer to read the Bible than listen to my words prattle on. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You know, great warning here. Many people will proclaim to represent Jesus Christ and proclaim even that he is Jesus Christ, and show, and it says, show great signs and wonders. You know, they're miracles. They'll show miracles and deceive many people. And it says here, even if possible, the very elect, those that were chosen by God, you know, to dwell with him forever. Even that thing that may seem impossible becomes possible, that they are deceived by these false prophets and false Christs. But it warns us not to listen. You know, it says elsewhere in the scriptures, you know, if any man come and tell you another about another spirit, another son, another gospel, you know, don't take heed, you know, check it always with the scriptures that we have in our hand. Always, does this line up with the scriptures? If not, ignore it. You know, because this warning is here that people will say, well, you know, it turns out what you've been following is wrong. Well, no, it's not wrong. It's straight out of the scriptures. And so we can always have that double check. And just flipping through the scriptures, I mean, Luke 21 goes through about signs that we'll see in the world around us, you know, and uses that analogy of the tree blossoming, something you can clearly see, like a tree is blossoming, you know summer is nigh, and we see events going around the world, and you think, yeah, that's like the tree blossoming, something's obvious to us all that it's coming up. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the nature of mankind. You know, all those things that are listed there that we see, like children disobedient to parents, you know, lovers of pleasures more than of God. And we see all that around our signs. Proverbs 30 is an interesting one. It's where Solomon actually observes those very same degenerate attitudes in his society. So that's an interesting little thing there. And Ecclesiastes 7:10 actually warns us against thinking that the old times were better. And so many people always think the old days were better, you know. So the point I'm making there is there's nothing new under the sun either. You know, we look around here on earth, we think, yeah, the Lord's got to come back. You know, but I mean, we've heard Brent give his testimony, and I know Andrew Witten's testified before that he thought the Lord was coming back that day. Some people think, oh, no, there's all this stuff's happening. We always think the Lord's going to come back so soon. And look out throughout history. I mean, there's many things that have happened on earth where people think, oh, the Lord's got to come back. You know, like I often think of the Inquisitions. You know, imagine the saints during the Inquisitions. They would have been thinking the Lord must be coming back. Can't get any worse than this. So there's nothing new under the sun, but we can. But the Lord still wants us to expect the Lord to come back. Like Brent made a great point there with his own testimony. One day it seemed all the same. All of a sudden it changes. You know, your life can just change all of a sudden. And it's like the Lord can come back all of a sudden. Your life can be changed suddenly. But it's what the Lord wants us to do is to expect Jesus to come back. And that's what these scriptures are saying. He wants us to expect always that Jesus is coming back soon. Because we have no idea when, but it hones our senses. It keeps us focused on what we need to be doing here on earth. You know, I know a few years ago I was at an Albany camp. I was kind of dilly-dallying. Something came up in my life and I was kind of to-ing and fro-ing, like whether to head off, you know, and just disappear, leave the Lord. I was down in Albany. I remember there was this, there was a war that cropped up again between the Jews and the Palestinians. And it kind of honed my sense. I thought, wait a minute, this could be a, you know, the Lord could come back here, you know. And that's what the Lord does. He puts these things up for us to see, to think, no, wait a minute, the Lord could come back soon. And he's done it throughout history to keep people, his saints, focused on following him. And that's what he wants. He wants us to stay focused on him and stay awake and continuing to do his work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So we know Jesus is coming back. We know he died. We know he was crucified. He shed his blood. We know he was the sacrifice, the final Passover sacrifice. We know that he rose again. We know he was risen from the dead. We know he lives today. That's why his sacrifice is still applicable today, because he's alive. And so this hope here that we have, so I love it how this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now think about that. Like, we live on this life, we get great blessings from the Lord, we pray to the Lord, we get healings, we get provisions. It's just a great, we've got a great assembly, other people are like-minded, and which is fantastic. But what it says here, if that is all our only hope, we're actually miserable. Our greatest hope is looking forward to being raised up to meet the Lord in the air. When Jesus Christ comes back, and in the likeness of when he was risen up, he'll come back down again to call us all up to be in the clouds with him. And that's what we all look forward to, is to dwell forever with our Father in heaven, so that we do not grow old anymore. We can leave behind the muck here on earth that belongs here on earth. We are mere sojourners. And that is our true hope. And for us to lose that hope is a very sad thing. We stay focused that Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back quickly. We keep that in our mindset, that so that we can hold on to this this greatest hope of our eternal life with our Father. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Be not ignorant. It's very important. Concerning that which are asleep, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words, and we do. Like, where it often comes out of our mouth, you know, when we're having fellowship, talking about the Lord's return. Let's be there. Let's comfort one another. Continually comfort one another with these words. And I don't know how true it is, but might be taking a bit of a stretch here in 17, where he says, where Paul says, "Then we which are alive." Now, I don't know whether Paul, in a way, expected Jesus to come back in his own lifetime. You could read into that, and perhaps. But either way, Paul wants us all to think that Jesus is coming back in our lifetime. He wants us to always think that. God wants us to have that in the forefront of our mind. Even though, let's say, Paul did expect Jesus to come back in his own lifetime, which is nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, that didn't happen, did it? But he still wants us to have that mindset. I mean, I often think that, well, it's the Lord's prerogative. He could go right back and just go right through the whole of history again. He can loop it back around. It's his prerogative. He's God. So it could be another 2,000 years ago and go through all the prophecies of the scriptures a second time. He could do that. But he wants our mindset to be, then we which are alive and remain, you know, while we're still alive and remain, be caught up together. To have that mindset that the Lord is coming back in our lifetime. So we always expect Jesus to return. Last scripture, Romans 13. And verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, of course, it's been a few days since we first believed. It's getting closer, you know, like that's a fact. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfil the lust thereof. You know, wake up, slap, you know, stop it, okay? If you're doing things that are not pertaining to the kingdom of God, you know, think, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back quickly. Ugh, let's shake out of it and let's start walking honestly as we walk in the day. You know, we've got nothing to hide when we're walking in the day. Those that have things to hide do it at night time. And so that's how you hone. And so like in that little example I was saying, it shook me out of these thoughts that didn't belong. And it made me realize, no, this is where I belong. I belong here. Walking in spirit and in truth, because I want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. I don't want to miss out. The other option is really a bad one. Okay, thank you.